Can I call the meeting to order? Good morning, honorable members, welcome to you. Hopefully we will have a very short meeting today, as I indicated earlier. I haven't received any apologies. Okay. I'm told the Honorable Olimisa and Honorable Ngonyama, who have tendered apologies for today's meeting. Now, Honorable Members, first and foremost, I want to draw your attention to the agenda, which consists of three issues. One is the adoption of the minutes. The second is a further deliberation by the committee on the way forward on the issue regarding Western Sahara. And the third is the adoption of the draft report on the oversight to DIRCO. Now, in respect of point three, the draft report, the adoption of the draft report, in a previous meeting, honourable members, at the last meeting when we discussed this draft report, honourable members felt that we should compile a set of recommendations before we adopt. However, I want to request the honorable members that we, for today, drop that point on the agenda, for the reason that it was my view that it would be impractical for the meeting to come up with its, you know, out of the blue with its own set of recommendations, because no recommendations have been proposed, you know, extracted from the report. So the report is still in the form that that we've left it at the last meeting, and I thought that it would be better, for purposes of engaging on the issues, that we rather have a set of proposed recommendations which members could deliberate on and further engage on, as opposed to having the very same report appearing before you. So my request, therefore, is that we, for now, remove the adoption of that report, and that we, from our side, propose a set of recommendations which members could then deliberate on. Alternatively, if honorable members feel no, let's do it from scratch ourselves. I would have no problem. Is it agreed?
I want to raise a kind of complication here because of recent developments. And I possibly were part of the development of those instruments. You will recall that in the budget debate, I reflected on the contents of the National Development Plan. And I repeated many, many of the observations of the National Development Plan. All of which, and if you read Chapter 7 of the National Development Plan, it's highly critical of the department. And what I was doing was saying to the minister has to respond to this. Because here you have the National Development Plan, which has been adopted by Mangwan, adopted by Cabinet, adopted by Parliament as the National Development Plan, portion of which is highly critical, and the minister and the department must reflect on that. Now, come to your point, we've been to the department, and we've seen much what is going on, and we need to reconcile those two. Now, yesterday, I saw in the Business Day that the Cabinet had withdrawn Chapter 7 of the National Development Plan, and it was going to be replaced by an updated version. Now, that updated version might well foursquare with what our own experience was at Durco and what we heard there. It may not, but you see, what I'm trying to say is this. We're in a very difficult position. Well, I find myself in a very difficult position because there is a great deal of strategy, vision, etc., put out by the department, and a lot of which we learned at our visit to Durco, and there's the National Development Plan. Now, we now don't have to reconcile it because that's been withdrawn, but we need to know the basis upon which a document which was adopted by Cabinet, adopted by Parliament, is now suddenly withdrawn. There may well be good reasons. And only that can inform, I think, part of the report on our visit to Durco. So what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to conflate two issues, because we can't deal with things in silos here. And we must either agree that that chapter of the National Development Plan was not representative, and what Durco said to us at our visit was representative, or else there's a mingling of the two, or else the National Development Plan was right. But, you know, we can't deal with things in abstraction here. We've got to bring them together at some stage.
No, I thought that, Comrade Chair, what you have said is correct. Let's deal with recommendations and work out the principle of my own understanding of such processes, either be it in the ANC, in Mangaung, or in Cabinet, is that that document, it's on the floor, we're debating it ongoing, and it's true. There is an observation. That's why none of us responded to you, because the observations are not something that we're not aware of. We're quite aware, and we're saying that those things are supposed to be ongoing discussions. That's why the chair is saying here, let's look at recommendation. Maybe we can all bring those type of understandings together and enter into a discussion and see what does it mean and what is being expected of us as part of our recommendations to enhance the document itself. I think they have withdrawn it just to enhance it.
I'm not sure where the recommendations would come from, but if they're going to come from us, then I tend to agree with Honorable Davis that in the first place, somebody should have come to your committee to present that aspect of Chapter 7, the whole of Chapter 7, so that we deliberate. But if it has now been withdrawn, and there's a new version coming in, I think it is also appropriate that when the new version has been formulated, that it also comes to your committee for deliberations so that we can add something on it. Otherwise, then, because it's impacting on what we're doing, and it's impacting on the report, and it's going to impact on the recommendations that we want to do now, because now we have two issues coming up.
There's a danger that you might conflate the two to the extent that you lose the essence of what we did when we were at Durco. Right? I'm saying that in the broader context, it makes sense, right? But you run the risk that you might conflate the two to the extent that you lose the essence of what actually happened at Durco and the issues that emanated within those discussions and engagements that we had with the department, right? Firstly, we've done, our oversight was focused on specific issues, most of which, if not all, were based on the budget review and recommendation report of the previous year. So it was quite focused on those issues, chief of which was looking at progress made or done by the department in respect of the issues that were pointed out in the BRRR of 2012. Now, of course, other issues also came out, amongst others, Central African Republic, which was quite a confusing thing at the end of it. But so we had an oversight which dealt with specific issues. Now, I'm saying to the extent that we can link, or let me put it this way, what factually happened there and the discussions that we had cannot be in question. Those took place. They are a fact. So what we must agree on in terms of the adoption of the report in terms of factually what happened, that cannot be changed, regardless of Chapter 7 being changed or not. Right? That cannot be changed. However, it will depend on the honorable members when we deal with the recommendations, and to the extent that those recommendations are relevant to matters pertaining to the National Development Plan, we would then engage with them and deal with them in that context. But that we have to have an engagement, I think, on Chapter 7 of the National Development Plan is crucial as a committee. Because you see, part of the problem, honorable members, you will recall, we haven't had an engagement as the committee per se on the NDP, especially Chapter 7. And the reason is, then, and I suspect, now, which in fact is the same reason that led to the current changes, that DIRCO wasn't involved per se in the writing of Chapter 7. You understand? So, and thus, now I think, and this is my own view, the push for a change or at least adoption of some of the issues pertaining to Chapter 7. So what I'm saying is, we did not engage. We engaged with it in other fora, other aspects of the National Development Plan, but not necessarily Chapter 7. And I'm saying, and I agree with you, Honorable Member, when you raise issues, or at least with some of the issues you've raised in respect of Chapter 7 of the National Development Plan. But I think what we need to do is to perhaps, amongst others, allow for the department to make its contribution so that we see what is there, right, and engage with perhaps the revised, and in fact the old and the revised Chapter 7s of the National Development Plan. But as an issue on its own, over and above how we could, if possible, incorporate some of the issues to the extent that it's possible, in the recommendations of the report.
I'm not necessarily disagreeing with you. But what I'm saying is this. I mean, I think we're dealing with three issues here. You see, for me, structure follows strategy. Now, we go and engage with DIRCO on the basis of certain given facts and certain strategies which we have in mind, or DIRCO has in mind. And we look at the structure accordingly, and we say, is it apposite? What are they achieving? What are the outputs, etc., etc.? And that we go to DIRCO and we see. Now, perhaps because we hadn't engaged in the then Chapter 7, we were not penetrating enough in our cross-examining, if you like, of DIRCO. Chapter 7 then is studied. Well, I studied. And I found glaring criticisms. I mean, if you've actually read Chapter 7, it is damning in certain respects. Now, I don't know, I can't actually vouch for the veracity of it. The guy who wrote that report might be talking absolute nonsense. In fact, what we should have done is had a study of Chapter 7 prior to going to DIRCO to do the oversight, because then we could have engaged DIRCO about this. But we didn't. So that's all under the bridge. We now have Chapter 7, but Chapter 7 has now been withdrawn. And a new Chapter 7 is going to be put in. So what I'm trying to do is,
did in fact conflate the three by recognizing the criticisms or recognizing what we saw at Durko, hearing the criticisms of the NDP, but acknowledging the new document that is coming forward and trying to find out why the changes and relating the new document to our visits to Durko. So it is in fact a circuitous process. I don't think you can disaggregate the three, but I think we're moving in the right direction. So I'm not unhappy that we look at the report from Durko, but we come to no conclusions at that point in time. What we have to do is see the new Chapter 7 and see what type of, because you will recall, if one looks at the NDP, there were one major criticism, and that was there was no real identification of what the national interest is, which is critical. And that's what they wanted an indaba about and all the rest of it. And there were a whole lot of other things about how many embassies we have, how many missions we have, and I mean, there was a whole lot there. And you see, we need to examine that and see whether it's true or not. I don't believe everything that is in the NDP Chapter 7 as it is put before us now. I don't agree with everything that's there. But I would like to be able to make that comparison, hear what I heard, and then formulate our own position accordingly.
No, I thought that we do give support to some of the issues you are raising, but also we needed to conclude that this meeting, what is it that we do with this particular matter? And I thought in terms of the process, it was about accepting what the chairperson was putting forward. But on top of what the chairperson is putting forward is take note of the issues that you have raised, so that in his own remark now before this one was to say, then rather than having a silos process, we bring everything in together and we decide on a particular day that we deal with this matter quite upfront, because you see, you might have seen it in the business day, we might not have seen it, but the most important thing, you're raising something that is sensible, that we can all deal with that. Can everything be brought to the attention of the chairperson with what we have raised, and then the chairperson can conclude on this particular meeting that this is what our own expectation is that all the concerns that they are expressing, we are supporting them, but let them go through the chairperson. And within that, with some of the recommendations, we'll work out everything and put up an agenda item that the NDP in itself, with before our own recommendation, could be reflected upon on a particular day. And we all have this discussion and a brief from the department itself that what is exactly going on. They must be the ones that must speak to the issue. So that's why I was saying I'm supporting you, and at the same time, for the sake of the meeting, let's agree with the recommendation that the chairperson has put forward so that you can conclude on this one and work out all the processes to let us have the proper brief in a proper way, and we could be able to deal with all matters that concern us.
No, that's precisely. I want to sum this up, Baba. Please, if you're still not happy with it, please come in. That's exactly my point, honourable members. Let's deal with it then. The only cautionary note that I have is that the danger that you would conflate them so much that you lose the essence of what we did for those particular 2-3 days. It's a cautionary note, but let's deal with it, you know, in the and take those matters of the NDP into cognizance when we engage on the report at that time. Okay.
One final word. We may end up by saying that because of the debate we will have about the new report, and we might have to go back to Durko.
It might very well be. Let's not jump the gun.
No, yes.
There are any number of possibilities that might flow from it. I accept that. But then let's deal with that, with it, with the benefit of having the information and then plotting our way forward then from there. So it means that this report will then stand over until we have engaged on that process. Right. Baba, does it assist?
It does, Mr. Chairman. In fact, I was going to ask how urgent is the report itself, Because as I look at those chapters, I think if we have a briefing on any one of those chapters or chapter 7, could we not take these things simultaneously in one meeting? Because I'm saying this because I think your visit, I was not there, but I suspect that it would be more emphasis on the organization and the structures, whereas the report deals with the national and international agenda, which impacts or rests on those structures and rests on that organization. And I'm afraid that if you're going to make recommendations on the organization and the structures, as we have seen them there, then you would also miss the fact that now the thrust on the national and international agenda has to rest on those structures, and already you have made recommendations, and then new things come in into it. I was saying that if it was not urgent, as then we would ask that let's have next week deal with these things simultaneously. Otherwise, but if it is urgent, then I go with you that we can deal with the recommendations today and then wait for the other issues.
All right. Look, perhaps just to assist you, Baba, the oversight, when it was conceived by the committee at the time, it focused on three specific areas at the time. It focused on the strike plan of the department, it focused on the budget, it focused on the annual report and the Auditor General's report. And extracted from there, or from all those, were the issues that were encapsulated in the BRRR report. Right? And those were the issues that were the primary focus of our oversight mission to the department. Right? Now, that is why I make the cautionary note. Because it was focused on those issues. Some issues might have come up, but to the extent that it is relevant, you know, issues that may or may not come up in the NDP are relevant to the work that we did, we will deal with them, right? But what we cannot do is to bring new issues into an oversight that took place and matters that did not arise at the time of the oversight, to parachute new issues in. That's why I'm saying let's only be careful. While I am prepared to accept that, but let's be careful not to overindulge in terms of conflating the issues too much that we lose the essence of the specific work that was done during that specific oversight. That's all the caution. That's the only cautionary note that I'm raising.
So I'm happy with that, Mr. Chair.
So that the committee understands that.
One final word from us.
No, hold. Just hold it. Let me give the Honourable.
Thank you, Chairperson. I agree with your proposal that we hold the report over. The NBDP was always and is still referred to as a document in progress and work in progress, because there are lots of organizations and stakeholders that are discussing the NDP, and I think we are one of those stakeholders. If there's something that we need to look at. So I don't think we must, at this point in time, I want to agree with the Honorable Skwasana to say let's look at it next week. We can call the department and say what is it that we need to look at, if there are any changes, and we can make our inputs and stuff like that. So I don't think we must really override it with input on the oversight visit that we had.
One final word. I mean, you see, here's the problem. You do an oversight visit on the basis of information available to yourself, and strategies and priorities in those strategies which are available to yourself at a given point in time. And structure follows strategy. Now, when you are presented with a document by the department which outlines a strategy, or purports to outline a strategy, you go to a department to do oversight in that context. You then have the NDP coming along, which really brushes aside that completely and says there ain't priorities there, there's nothing, I mean, there's no substance there, there's no national interest defined there. It really attacks the very basis upon which you did your oversight. So you can't ignore it. You can either reject it and say, rubbish, there is something substantive there, but we must hear from the department exactly what that substantiveness is. And then we can ignore the National Development Plan. But we can't go on and do kind of business as usual when that document is hanging in the background, which says that which before you and what the department is doing is fundamentally wrong. Now, that is why I'm saying, and you can bring it all together, but we need a briefing by the department as to what was wrong with the NDP, why the department is right in terms of the new document that is going to be put before us, because the fundamental things that underpin it, which we went to Durco and saw, are still in place. Then we can go back and say, okay, that Durco visit was in a certain context, that context still maintains itself, and we can go ahead and business as normal. But we can't just jump the gun. Anyway, that's all. look, I've tried to referee, but let me weigh into the debate around the issue, honourable members. Look, first and foremost, we did not. Firstly, the department has a strategy, as outlined in the strategic plan. Right. First and foremost, the NDP came along. In fact, when last year that the final document was actually approved, the DIRCO's budget that we approved in this house, and its threat plan that we approved, we did not approve on the basis of the National Development Plan.
Oh, no.
Right. Now, that being the case, the oversight could therefore not possibly have been conducted on the basis of the National Development Plan when it wasn't a consideration at the time of adopting both the budget and the strategic plan.
Yeah.
Right. Now, so when we did the oversight, we did that on the basis of the department's approved strat plan, on its approved annual plans, on its APPs, on its approved strat plan, the budget, and we further did it on the basis of the annual report that we've scrutinized. We've called the department in, we've had engagements with them. Specific issues emanated. We engaged with as the committee, and we extracted a number. In fact, we raised together, of course, looking at the report of the Auditor General, we extracted those issues that we thought needed particular focus and identified those areas of improvement that we expected from the department in executing its mandate set out in its threat plan, right, and government policy broadly. Now, we had about, was it 23? Or how many issues were those in the BRRR? Around there. We had about 23 issues or so that we specifically sent to the department before we went there. And we said to them we wanted progress report on this. There were issues, honorable members, you would recall, not on policy, not on strategic direction, but on spending, on supply chain issues pertaining to unacceptable practices and so on. We went to talk to the the audit committee of the department in trying to find out what they have done in order to resolve some of the problems that have been recurring in the department for a couple of years. Now, those were the issues that were the focus of our oversight.
not policy direction, not strategic perspective. Those, the functional operational issues that would have given the department or that has the potential to change the audit outcomes of the department into the future. Those were the issues of focus, honorable members. Now, I have sympathy for the view you have that we need to look at, and I agree wholeheartedly, that we need to look at the issue of the National Development Plan. But there is a risk, honorable member, that you would conflate this issue so much that you lose the very essence of what we did during those 2-3 days that we spent there. You see? So, now your insistence that this must be our primary focus, that we should fit everything, you know, into the basket of the National Development Plan, I think is not the correct approach. I think rather what we need to do is we deal with the oversight report as an, this is my personal view, I'm prepared to agree that it's fine, let's see how we could, you know, engage the NDP issues, if there are any. I'm prepared to do that. But if I could, I would have said, let us deal with the report that deals with the issues that were pointed out in the Auditor General's report in our BRRR and get them over and done with, right? And conclude that report and take a look as a committee to the developments pertaining to the National Development Plan. Now, Honorable Gozana, I'm not sure that at this point we will be able to, at least by next week, we will be able to get the new version of the National Development Plan. It's from what I understand, they are in the process of you know, finalizing that. My own take is perhaps we need to wait a little longer to allow them to finish that so that we get not only hear why this happened, but also hear what are their new views, what is the new version of this thing going forward. So I'm saying, hold your horses. So I'm saying, Honorable, preferably that is how I think we should deal with this thing. But if you agree, I'm prepared to agree with you that it's fine. Let to the extent that there are issues that are relevant in that report to the National Development Plan, let's engage with them. But if not, let's engage with the report and deal with the National Development Plan issues separately. Let me hear from a voice that hasn't said anything at this point.
I agree, and excuse me, thank you.
Okay, you need to run now. Sorry. Okay, you know that.
Just to help you together. I think...
It's me.
We failed in our...
No, it's me.
We failed, I think, in our original mandate, in the sense that when we looked at the strategic plan, we forgot some very central words which the President indicated, and that was that the National Development Plan would be front and center of government policy going forward. Those were his words when he opened his debate. And those words are indelibly marked on my mind. Yes, and in my heart. No, I do. No, I actually am 4 square behind the National Development Plan. And what we then failed to do when interrogating our strategic plan is say, hey, this looks great, but where's the National Development Plan in this? That was where we failed in our mandate. We just proceeded as if there was business as usual. So here's the compromise. Let's, in one context, proceed as if there is business as usual, but also do it as an interim report, and then engage with the new National Development Plan when it comes out and tie the two together.
Thank you, Chairperson. I was quiet because I wasn't aware what is going on, but now I do understand that if you conduct a site visit on certain issues, the report should be based on that. I agree with Honorable Member when he said the committee made a mistake of not saying anything concerning the NDP. But that doesn't mean when producing the report you should then include the NDP because it's not what you oversighted on that particular day. So the report should be based on what you did with the department. Yes, the NDP is important. Maybe then we should call the department to present to us how far are they in implementing the NDP. I think that's my take. The report should be a separate issue, not including the NDP, on the things that you oversighted. Thank you.
Comrade Chair, I thought that we are in one meeting and trying to get a solution for this meeting. And if we solely have gone with that process of debating the NDP, it was not meant for this particular meeting. But because we are human beings, we are accommodating the weaknesses that we have gone through in preparation. What is in front of us is a report that is looking for us to be able, that was about our own visit. But we say because we don't want to alienate what we are saying or negate it, we say let's acknowledge it, but let's allow the chairperson in his own processes of preparation for another meeting, look into it and bring it to our attention. We are trying to be very accommodative. We're not ignoring. I listened to you during the budget vote. I acknowledge some of the weaknesses. We might have other views, but you see, the information is new. Now, rather than officially in this portfolio committee, you have presented your position, and we are acknowledging it. We're not saying you are wrong or right, but we're just saying give him an opportunity to preside over this issue properly and come back to all of us and give us an opportunity to reflect on your views. We might have our own views, and let him engage the ministerial. And you have read it in the newspapers. We have not read it. Let him come as the chairperson in proper arrangements for us. But let's acknowledge that this report in front of us, in the way he has presented it, might not be enough or might just want some time for us to reflect on it and come back and we preside over the issue and give some recommendation. But let's give the chairperson the opportunity to run the committee in a proper way. That's all we were saying, Comrade Chair. And we all agree that. Let's have this opportunity and be given all the information.
Okay, thanks. Now, Baba, you will be the very last one and you will allow me to make a ruling on this matter.
First, I don't agree with Ronald Boy when he says allow the chairman to run the meeting in a proper way because nobody was derailing the meeting here. We're all trying to find a solution to this because we're dealing with hindsight. It's a question of hindsight. And I agree with you fully, Mr. Chairman, that let us look at the report, make recommendations on the report of the visit, and at some point then we need to deal with that hindsight because we did not at some point get a briefing on the national on the NDP ourselves. We should have called for it, as Ronald Davis is saying. Now there's a new version coming in. So we should decide that at some point we are going to need a briefing on both. But I agree with you that let's deal with the report now and the recommendations. Also with the view that the recommendations themselves in the future are going to impact on what is in the NDP, whether we like it or not. At some point, you find that our recommendations are going to impact on that. Because there's this type of coordination that is happening. I'm fully behind you, Mr. Chairman.
Chairperson, may I be the last? I heard that you. On the issue of the newspaper information that the honourable member has read, I don't think we should react on that one. It's not official. There's nothing, there's no documentation that has come to the committee that is official. That.
Please, honourable members. No, it's fine. But at the least, you see, show the honourable member the courtesy for her to finish what she wanted to say, and I will give you the opportunity to. Yeah, please.
Honourable member, it's not about trust, me not trusting you, but this is something that is in the paper. It's not officially presented to us.
or to the parliament or to the committee. So we cannot react on such. So let's just put it in mind that there might be changes of Chapter 7, but that should not derail what we're supposed to be doing in producing our report and finalizing it. Thank you.
Okay, that's fine. I think everybody agrees with that point. Look, honorable members, let's hold over this report, right, until such time that we've had those briefings and we are able to assess the impact of those briefings on the possible recommendations or the report itself, right? Let's do that and let's conclude it at that. I have, in fact, received a correspondence from the Honorable Davidson requesting the committee to summon the minister. That's the one you used in your... But I don't think you meant it that way.
Well.
That's fine, but when I say summon, you say it sounds harsh. but I understand. No, I understand the context. I mean, you didn't mean summon like in, you know, legal summons, but to invite the minister. There is a point at which you summons in terms of the rules of parliament. So it's not summons. It's really invite the minister to... enlighten the committee, and really it's in line with what we've said just now, that we need that briefing as the committee and engage with it from there. So I'll make the contact with the department and find out what the progress is. Chances are we might have to wait a little longer to allow them to finalize, you know, whatever they have to finalize before they are able to make that briefing. But we'll see. I'm not going to speculate what is going to happen. Okay. Thank you. Then, honourable members, that having been agreed on, shall we go to the first point on the agenda? The adoption of... What do you mean? No, Bob. No. Okay, I see there's a bit of a commotion. Shall we allow for 2-3 minutes? Just to allow the members to...
You did very well yesterday. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Okay.
No, no. Honorable members, let me, please allow me to, please let me apologize. I had a crooked understanding of the issue pertaining to the minutes. No, really, the minutes, there's no adoption of minutes. Really, the minutes are meant to remind us of the previous discussions we've had on the matter of Western Sahara. Yeah, I apologize. That is why I had to confer here, because I was also now a little bit dizzy. Yeah. Now, let me... So we are going to the issue of our discussions on the matter of Western Sahara and plotting a way forward. Now, in your packs, you will note that we have minutes there of the 20th of March and minutes of 24 October 2012 at the Pepper Club Hotel, where we've had discussions with both the Sahrawi on the one hand and the, well, and what we thought at the time was the Moroccan embassy that we've invited. Now, in both these engagements, a number of issues emanated, which were raised by both the department and the other players. Now, I don't know, honourable members, how you want to proceed on this particular matter, because we have resolved as a committee some time ago that on some of the issues that we've discussed, we wanted to discuss a way forward in terms of how we engage with the matter going forward. May I also add at this point that I have received a correspondence from the Honorable Kalyan, also pertaining to the matter of Western Sahara, in which the Honorable Kalyan requested the committee to look at the matter of Western Sahara and formulate, in fact, she's actually informed me that she's the matter has been engaged with in the Pan-African Parliament, where they received information and have seen videos of human rights violations, and she then requested the committee to engage on the matter and for us to recommend to Parliament, you know, what our Parliament's response should be. So this is a matter that is receiving attention all over. And I think it was a good thing that I challenged the DA the other day to be with me. to come out in respect of this thing. But it is a matter that honorable members is receiving attention. And I guess the committee has reached a point where really we need to say, what do we want to do with the matter having received the briefings. So may I perhaps to help draw your attention to the minutes of the, just to perhaps help us with the discussions of the 24th of October. One of the questions that we, Baba.
When you were asking us.
Yeah, how to, I just want to pick on a couple of points. One of the questions that we asked the department at the time of its presentation was what could be done, what could we do amongst others as a parliament. And The department proposed, amongst others, that South Africa as a country utilize all and every available bilateral and multilateral engagement to place this matter on the agenda. So basically, they were advocating for international advocacy on South Africa's part, wherever it is represented. Now, government, leave government for a moment, but as the South African Parliament, we are represented in various international fora, ranging from the Commonwealth Parliamentary Association to the IPU to the Pan-African Parliament, which is in fact discussing this matter, and so on. It's an idea. I'm just raising those issues. They've, amongst others, proposed or suggested that we work towards an increasing public participation by civil, or I mean, broader participation by civil society in support of the struggle. They've raised issues of assistance to the Sahrawi Arab Democratic Republic in terms of institution building, capacity building, and so on. Well, they've raised the issue of the lifting of the media blackout, but not what could be done per se, but you could look at, you know, engaging on those issues in the various fora and so on and so on as well. The matter of demolition of land, of the landmines along the 1,800-kilometer sand wall. They are looking at the increased allocation of humanitarian assistance. I think part, perhaps, if we wanted to talk about what our role would be in that regard, would perhaps be to ask the department to give us a report in terms of how they have spent their ARF allocations in achieving, you know, the ARF, amongst others, in achieving these objectives, both the issue of the capacity building and institution building, and humanitarian assistance. So these are some of the issues. We're talking about the MOUs that were there between, that are there between the two countries, which are ready to be for approval, to be signed. How far are they? I think it's one area we could, you know, perhaps strengthening our oversight over the actual work that is being done by them in that context. So these are just some of the things we can look at, and I'm sure even at other possibilities outside of that. Okay. Before I, Baba, you wanted to come in first, and then you have noted.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. No, in fact, you may have covered what I wanted to say, because I was also looking at that seven-point plan from the department, and I thought what we could do here is simply to look at the practicalities which you were looking at. For instance, on that point one, which is talking about all available platforms, page four. I think there we're talking about public diplomacy, that this issue should also go into the program of the department or of the portfolio committee on public diplomacy, meaning that we would have to target those areas that you're talking about and make presentations about this issue of this area. And also, I think when it comes to public participation also, it's really a program of public diplomacy in our country to make people aware of the suffering of the people in that area. It could be done with those structures, it could be done with musicians, it could be done with everybody who is interested in knowing about it. And then I was looking at another point of the media. I'm not sure whether it would work here if we could also make it an effort to have a forum here and then invite the media as such. I mean, make an effort to make sure that we invite the media inside and outside Parliament and then bring in the issue, those videos which people are talking about. And then the last point is on humanitarian aid. You're correct, sir, that we need to know how the department used the aid in terms of this area. What were they aiming at? What did they achieve? Where was the aid going to? And what was it doing there? This is what I thought, Mr. Chairman, that we could simply look at the practicalities of what the department is proposing and how this could be achieved. I think you have covered that.
Thank you, Chair. I would agree with your proposal also that we invite the department as well as what the Honorable Skosana just said in terms of the people we can draw in on the matter. But I also want to propose that maybe we can engage our colleagues that are sitting on the Pan-African Parliament. I think we have five representatives there. To engage with them as well to see what the progress was made there in terms of their discussions. I think it could be a multi-pronged approach on the matter. Thanks.
Mr. Chairman, that's exactly why Sandy Callion has come to us, because she sits on the Pan-African Parliament, and there are rumblings of resolutions being forwarded to be tabled at that parliament, and she's looking for guidance from this committee as to how she should react. Now, I mean, I want to go once. I mean, I have nothing against the. In fact, I'm fully in agreement with the 7 points. But I mean, I think what is critically important is to also tie whatever we say to the International Court of Justice, who actually made a ruling that and didn't recognise Morocco's right over the Sahara people. I mean, that's a critical point of departure, because it then says it has not only, they don't have a legal case, and morally they are wrong. And that comes to your human rights agenda, which is enshrined in our constitution. So we have not only a legal case, we've got a human rights case and a moral case to be advocates for the independence of the Saharan people.
No, thank you so much, yeah.
Sorry, I'm covered completely now, but there's just two things I want to stress. And this, the Pan-African Parliament, the input that they had at their conferences, I think we must get all that info, because there's a lot of things that I think that we'll miss if we don't know what they know. It's no use they knowing it and we cannot do anything about it. So we must invite the people that was the presenters there on that item to come and show us the videos so that we can see the full range. If we ask our people, we'll get a half a version of it. And something else is the aid. Is there any aid to that people at the moment, and how much, and who's helping? And do we have to look into the matter to see if they need more aid that we can help them? Otherwise, I'm covered. Thank you.
No, thank you so much. Any other proposal? That concludes it. Okay. Okay, honourable members. I think there's consensus on the matter of Western Sahara, our approach, the principles of our how we look, or the principles that are involved for us, the matter of self-determination, the critical issue of the ICJ ruling in this regard, that pertains to a whole host of issues, from the human rights situation to the illegal exploitation of the natural resources and so on. What we will now do then is, amongst others, one, we will look at actualizing the ideas here in terms of a practical program. But
also write to the different structures in Parliament and communicate our position on this matter. And perhaps to the reps of the Pan-African Parliament, or perhaps to the House Chair, rather, who can then, communicate that information to those our representatives there, so that they understand our view on the matter and perhaps also what it is that we want to do in our own parliament going forward. Thank you so much, members. I guess that concludes our meeting. Thank you so much. And Baba wanted to last. Can you switch off your phone, your mic? Thanks.
A general one, Mr. Chairman, about this. I was watching the news and I saw this over the days. This new forum that is called the African Diaspora Forum. I think their thrust really, they are dealing with this question of xenophobia, which I remember that in 2008, Parliament was also seized with that, and there were recommendations made by Parliament on these issues by the Chief Whip's Forum, I remember. And he's now the Deputy Minister. Mr. Bapela was running with this. Now, I was wondering, because now there are other things which involve us there. It's the African context which they use this, and also the context of the diaspora, whether we could not at some point invite that forum, because I heard that they will be going through the provinces. I think they established it in somewhere in Gauteng. I was wondering whether it is possible to invite that forum, because I believe that this is part of also our public diplomacy. We need to also make members aware of this plague of xenophobia. So we need to hear a report from that. Looks as if it's formally accepted around Gauteng. I'm not sure in other areas. Just to reconsider that.
Just hold. It looks urgent.
Chairperson, I just wanted to say there were many proposals put forward in terms of what we need to do. Mm. Can that just be put in a draft program for us?
Yes,
for the next
thanks.
Term?
No, thanks. That's exactly what I wanted to say. But we will be dealing with our terms program, the next terms program. So can we deal with it in the context of that terms program? Okay, thanks. Okay, members, that concludes our meeting. Thank you so much. Oh,
keep on pressing there.
No, it's fine. Okay. No, thanks so much. It's okay. Okay, let me just make an announcement at this point.